Carlton Browncast. I'm talking to someone I've been a big fan of for a really long time, Jack Hurley, who is a restaurateur, entrepreneur, and owns Jack's Cosmic Dogs, one of my favorite restaurants in the whole world, in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, which I discovered when my family and I were vacationing on Isle of Palms, which we like a lot. But you're talking to Jack about getting up early in the morning, and you say you're older. You don't look that much older than me. I mean, you got more hair than I do, dude. So, I mean, you're obviously doing okay.
I don't think age has anything to do with hair.
With hair? Well, you know what? I would trade 10 years to have a little more of it. No, I'm kidding. But you're talking about dogs, and you know, it's like, I honestly believe that one of the greatest functions that dogs provide is they're fantastic alarm clocks.
Without a doubt. And again, our dog, you know, so we're up at 5 o'clock in the morning because of the dog. And my wife, I've been married to my wife for 34 years. I don't think I've never met anyone who loves dogs as much as she does. So I always tell my friends that when I die, I want to come back as her pet. And they all go, Jack, but you are.
Oh.
His pet. Her pet.
I hate to use a term from the kids these days, but snap. I have always said that I wanted to come back as one of my own dogs because they got it. The living is easy, man. I mean, it's a great job. I mean, you lounge around on the sofa, you eat, you know, some decent food, and you go out and chase squirrels. I don't really think...
Squirrel!
Squirrel! My dogs actually prefer chipmunks to squirrels. Uh-huh. Squirrels simply taunt them from the trees. Chipmunks, you've actually got a chance to catch.
Yeah, that's true. Uh-huh.
So that's the way it works. So you and I was trying to actually, this morning, I was trying to think of what year we met for the first time. Do you actually know the year?
No, it had... I would think it's about... 2004 or
2005 was what I had come up with. But I'm still not 100% sure about it. But I remember wandering into your place, which is iconic now in this part of South Carolina. But back then, it was still just a joint on the side of the road, quite frankly, with a gravel parking lot and some old Sputniky-looking props out front.
And I think that's why you liked it, because I tried to build a place that looked like a place what I went to as a kid instead of a generic chain.
It's very 1965 space age.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that whole kind of retro groove. And a lot of people would probably see that and think that's just marketing. But then I went inside and I remember the first time I saw the menu board at your place. And I remember looking at the range of hot dogs. It's a hot dog joint. For those of you that don't know, Jack's Cosmic Dogs is dogs. And I remember looking at the menu board and being really kind of enthralled by the inventiveness that had gone into the menu. I mean, I've been to a lot of hot dog joints. If you put a gun to my head and said, okay, for the rest of your life, you can either have hot dogs or hamburgers, I would be in the hot dog camp. Okay. So I eat hot dogs everywhere I go. And I remember looking at the menu thinking, somebody has really thought this stuff out. What was the original impetus? I mean, I want to know how you came up with it in the first place, because I believe it to be a singularly great idea. But then I also want to figure out and understand how you came up with that, with those menus, because the dogs are they're incredible.
It was easy. It was, you know, as you know, we've talked about this because you went to school in Vermont. I cut my teeth in the restaurants up there. Actually, we still have 5 restaurants open for 33 years after the same concept. I don't own them. We've sold them since then. But, you know, we knew the restaurant trade, and the whole thing was to keep simple. If food is simple, food is good. And when...
Wait a second, because simple food can also be bad.
That's true. That's true. But if you stay close to the food chain, fresh, and so I wanted to create a place. The reason why I started Jack's Cosby Dogs was to give my kids a job. And I wanted them.
Fantastic idea.
Yeah.
You know, if I could get my daughter to work, I would build anything.
So our point was we had to make it simple for high school kids to do.
Okay.
And so I saw this building, and I'm a sucker for buildings. I saw this building.
Because you're a real estate guy. You also sell real estate.
Yeah. And I said that there's a place that looks like a hot dog joint. This is it. And it was a restaurant inside. It had a hood. It had the grease trap. It had the, you know, the fryers. It had the whole thing to wear.
Good stuff. It's got everything you need.
I just had to do the smoke and mirrors. And I told my sons, I said, now watch this. Your mom and I are going to create this place in 1 month. We're going to paint it. We're going to do the logo. We're going to do the recipes in 1 month. Only because I want you to understand at some point in your life, if you're tired of working for the man, that you have this creative gene in you, because we're going to do it so fast, it's going to shock you.
Okay, stop for a second and set up How many kids? How old?
We have two boys.
How old were they at the time?
At the time, they were, I think they were both in high school. They were freshmen and sophomores in high school.
So you actually did part of this as a parenting decision. You were going to show them, okay, watch this. Watch what me and your mom do. So you were actually doing this partly to teach them about their own stuff, so to speak.
Yes.
All right, and keep going, because that's rather extraordinary.
And also, I wasn't in the restaurant trade at that time, and I've always liked being in it. I like to create them. So
why?
So many people
fail in it. Why? What is it for you?
I just found that was the only thing that was natural for me. And again, you know, my wife, who's my partner, and all these things, where we see a building and the idea is just, it's like a film in my head. It goes over and over. We can do this and we can do this. We can do this. Well, the way the Cosmic Dog came up is that we had at the restaurant we owned in Vermont called the Daily Planet. My partner found this drop tank rocket. He works for Ben and Jerry's. He found this tank and we made it into a funky Flash Gordon type rocket. And it hung over the dance floor at the Daily Planet. And when we moved down here, my partner's wives came to the garage sale where the moving van was, and they made sure, they asked me to get lunch, and they made sure the rocket went onto the truck because they didn't want it in their backyard. So I had this rocket.
Yeah, it was to avoid owning it themselves.
Right, yeah, so that's where the cosmic thing, and we also, you know, I was born and raised in Northwest New Jersey, so you think of hot dogs, you think of Coney Island. Well, here I am in the year 2000, and what kid even knows where Coney Island is? So I've always was enthralled with the view of the future from the 30s and the 40s. I've always loved that Flash Gordon.
The future we never got.
Rockets and all that. So
where's my jetpack?
So I just saw all these great images as a marketing guy. You know, I just saw all these great images that could come out of this. So we sold. I had a food company back in the 90s, and we created the sweet potato mustard that I just loved.
The sweet potato mustard awesome.
And we
By the way, I'm out of it. You gave me several jars, and they're all gone now, so hopefully
so we hook me up. Yeah. So we used our blue cheese slaw, and we just started play off the names of how to name all the dogs after all these characters. The Neutron dog, you know, the Astro dog, the Orbit City dog, the Cosmic dog. And so that's how
the fact that Astro was the Jetsons' dog, and then you put that in a bun. I mean, that could go a couple of different ways, Jack. I just want to point that out.
That's true.
The Astro dog, as opposed to Astro's dog, which would be different.
And so the whole idea was, I went to a place with a kid to where you did three things. It served hot dogs, fresh cut fries, and ice cream custard. And we had, back in this other place, they had birch beer. I couldn't get birch beer, so I did root beer in a mug. And I call them vintage long necks, the sodas of my youth. The knee-high orange, the knee-high grape, the RC, the cheerwine.
Cheerwine, don't skip over the cheerwine, because the cheerwine, that's a Carolina thing.
Yeah, right.
And if
you
haven't had a cheerwine, ladies and gentlemen, it's like a cherry Coke in heaven.
Yeah, right.
It's like better than a cherry Coke could ever be.
Yeah. And it was fascinating to watch all the kids come running in, and they wanted to get, but they had a cooler that day. You had to pull them out of the ice, and to watch them take the bottle caps off because they've never done it before. They didn't know how to do it. And it was like, they can't wait to do it. Just a little theater.
So something that, you know, it's funny that you bring that up because the first time that I came to Jackson, I came there with my family. My daughter was, I want to say my daughter was only seven. She's 14 now. And you've got the big old fashioned, you know, it was basically a Coke cooler with with the opener on the side. And my memories of childhood, my grandfather on my mom's side owned a car repair place, a Volkswagen repair place. And they had outside, this is back in like the late 60s, early 70s, had the nickel Coke machine. You remember the one where you would put in the nickel and you would open the glass door and you'd pull the bottle out of the little thing.
Right.
And then there was the opener, you know, and there was that moment. And of course, the Cokes were all like 6 ounces at the time. They were reasonably sized. But I remember my daughter popped her first cap at Jack's.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, hold the bottle here, do this. And it was wonderful. And I remember that very, very strongly of being able to, she's like, wow, that's, and she had her first cheer wine at your place. And
it's so old school, but it's so much fun.
Oh my God. But you know what? Part of the, you know, the vibe that you've got in your place is, it is retro, but it's not retro for marketing sake as much as it actually enhances the overall experience, just like your hand-cut fries. I mean, it's not that big of a deal to cut a potato. I mean, there's a thing on the wall, and you put the potato in, you pull the handle, and the fries drop down into a bucket. But you guys do it right.
Yeah, and it takes a little timing. The staff has to know how to, you know, you have to blanch them first, and then
you have to blanch first. And I don't know about you. I heavily believe in refrigerating them overnight in the water
because you
get more starch to sugar conversion, and you
exactly.
Get
and that's the math that you do explaining that in your shows from back.
Yeah, you got to do that. So I mean, when you go here's the thing, guys. When you go into Jack's, there's this futuristic vibe as though it's the future from 1960, back when everything was going to be rosy and beautiful and we were all going to have jetpacks and rockets and all of that. But you've got this wonderful art that you decided to put on your T-shirts that are these super simplistic kind of paintings of characters.
Yeah, and his name is Valdez, and you can go online and see him. He's just an incredible artist, and he did these things so fast on cardboard.
On cardboard.
He was so natural at it. So I had him do all our dogs, and I love those images because they just gave that cartoony look.
So happy. Something. They're so happy. Yeah. So when you go into Jack's, you can't help but be in a really great mood because the art is so great. And then there's the food. Now, I understand a restaurateur. I understand someone who is in the restaurant game, the marketing game of that. I understand the vibe. I understand the burn of that. But how is it that you got the food so right? Because you did. You got the food right.
Well, again, it's a simple. Everything was made. The hot dog is cooked even before it's cooked. So if you get a good brand of hot dogs, that your work's almost all done. The chili, you make it from scratch.
Of course.
All the stuff came out of either my experience with other restaurants or my mom's stuff. So, okay, you got meat, so all of a sudden you can do a meatloaf. That's my answer to the hamburgers, to do a meatloaf sandwich. I knew from the beginning, coming from Vermont, you had to have something for the vegetarian because people don't understand the power of the vegetarians. There's six people in the car.
Talk about that.
Six people in the car. One person's a vegetarian. If you don't have anything for them, the car goes elsewhere. You know, at the time, I couldn't find a good tofu dog or a black bean thing. So I did this thing. I had a nephew that worked at the University of Buffalo, and it was like a huge school, 40,000 students.
That's a giant school.
And when they had hot dogs, they cooked carrots al dente for the vegetarian because a hot dog in a bun – same shape, same thing. So it was called.
Tell you right now, Jack, you give me a carrot in a bun, I'm going to be pissed off.
Well, it was called a bunny in a bun.
Bunny in a bun.
So folks will stand there, look at the menu, they go through the whole thing, and then they see the bunny in the bun. They laugh and they say, "The bunny in the bun is for the vegetarian. I'll take a hot dog with chili and slaw and onions."
Yeah, right.
But
absolutely.
It was just, again, you know, you got to offer something for the vegetarian.
Well, of course you do.
And I've gone and I've
what about vegans?
A lot
Will you
more.
Go that far?
Not yet. No.
Yeah. Well, vegans typically don't have the strength to make it to the door. and they don't have credit cards because they just very rarely do.
And I think the smell will get to them. You know, there is pork and meat in the air.
Oh, so. Gosh. So for those of you that haven't been, what they do with the dogs at Jack's. Okay. Now, I don't want to know where you get your hot dogs. I don't want the secrets. And I don't want to know about where you get the buns, although they're soft and wonderful and delicious. And I could swear I taste a little potato in there. They take the dogs and you simmer them in water.
Yeah, just to get them a little warm.
But then you split them open and you griddle them in butter.
No, actually, I don't split them open.
You don't? But what are you talking about? I've watched it happen there.
No. Well.
I watched them on the griddle.
Well, there are folks who ask for it that way.
Oh, maybe I saw a specific request.
Right. Yeah. No,
but they,
no, but
they go down on the flat top.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
it's done.
When I was shooting there were some that were split because I remember watching.
It is done on a griddle, and
you do it with a little butter.
You know, to get the pantina on. You know, I have more friends who are chefs who, you know, they know how to cook hot dogs at home, but somehow a griddle sort of gets its own pantina. It has its own
the it flavor of it, the yeah. plancha, is what they call it in Spain. It's that actual surface itself,
right.
and the texture that it gets depending on how you clean it and how you handle it.
Mm-hmm.
It takes on its own character.
Mm-hmm.
And the griddle at Jack's is probably the most valuable piece of equipment in the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just saying.
It is the old Coke machine, I think that is.
You think it's the old Coke machine?
No, just...
Have you had a tough time upselling? Because you're Northern, and so the concept of custard ice cream or frozen custard is a little
work.
Different. We don't use that down here.
Right.
You know, in the South, you don't use the word custard with
it
ice cream.
It didn't work.
So.
It didn't work, so I sell soft-serve ice cream now. I don't call it that because they didn't know. They thought it was going to be a pie or was it a pudding? Or it was just too hard to explain it. And actually, I don't think I've ever marketed my ice cream the way I should, which it's, you know, it's got to have the high butter fat. It has to have that high. It has
yeah, but custard
come off
has eggs in it. Custard has eggs
exactly.
By definition. So.
And a soft serve with high fat doesn't have eggs.
You know, it's funny.
That is the only.
We have Vermont in common. And in Montpelier, Vermont, out at the end of town, as you head out towards the graveyard, there was the, quote, creamy stand.
Mm-hmm.
And soft serve ice cream is a huge deal in Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I mean, we have it in the South too, but nobody freaks out about it. But the word creamy, which of course, like in New York, you have Mr. Softy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing about this soft serve ice cream that's a very, very big deal. And of course, down South, we have Dairy Queen and Tasty Freeze in our tradition where we would get soft serve ice cream. Why do you think yours is any different?
Well,
what makes yours special, I guess? I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
Well,
it's good. It's really good.
Yeah, no, but it's good. And I think because we live in the South where it's warm all the time, ice cream is, it's ice cream. I think when you talk about Vermont, that it's a summertime thing. So
very much so.
Summer's 3 months. So it's like special. Oh, it's a change of the season. We have creamies now. It's like, you don't go to one in the middle of December.
Right.
So I think it becomes a special food and you equate it to your youth and it's summertime, it's outdoors, and I think that's why those stores are good for that. That's all.
So in the last few years you've spread out the Jack's Empire.
Well, we
tell me how you did that, because I'm really interested in how you kind of work your
Well
your
we
magic.
We have learned that we've made mistakes. You know, you can't franchise anything until you've proven it. My one store, we've definitely proven it, and I get
– people come from all around.
I get emails twice a week for folks who want to look at a franchise.
Hmm.
So we tried to expand two stores here, and the mistake that we did, only because we switched them, only because the mistake that we did is that we didn't stick to the model. The model is 1,800 square feet with outdoor seating, and your rent has to be X amount, and
Outside seating area with the stools is just magnificent.
Yeah,
looking at the highway,
right,
it's fantastic.
Right. And it's free, too. You don't pay for that.
Nope.
So we opened up one on the way to Folly Road. It was 3,000 square feet. Rent was twice as much, and we spent too much to open it. And we learned. And we did one in West Ashley the same way. West Ashley is this little neighborhood just across from Charleston.
Right.
So
much closer to town.
Yeah. So we figured out, even though it was successful, it couldn't make the numbers work. So we flipped it into a bar called Mex One Coastal Cantina that my boys worked there.
Okay.
My boys, both boys are there. My one boy is a general manager. My other son's a bartender. But so we found for that neighborhood, the hot dogs didn't quite work because the neighborhood was – they're urban professionals. They were coming home from work at 5 o'clock. They walk the dog.
Oh, they want a drink.
They go to the gym. well, they go to the gym, and then they come back at 8 o'clock and they want to eat and drink. So that's what we did. So it's a good model. So now we're trying to expand it just to a license into a smaller venue as opposed to only.
How important do you think the proximity to the beach is for the pure cosmic dog concept?
Well, again, you can't go wrong with those type of – you equate hot dogs, again, with a summer food.
And I mean –
same thing with ice cream.
You and I would – I mean, you know, the Coney Island thing. It's like
the
seashore.
Beach is huge.
You know, seashore doesn't get you a hamburger. Seashore gets you a hot dog.
Yeah, the beach is huge. But you have to earn that – you know, the famous hot dog joints out there have been open since the 30s or 40s. So they built up these loyalty folks. So,
yeah, they're icons.
So because I'm close to Isle of Palms, people come every year from the beach. On the way down to the beach, they stop in. While they're at the beach for a week or two, they come out three times. And then on the way out, they stop the way out.
Yes, they do. So it's three trips minimum.
Right. So it becomes special. It's amazing when folks ask me who my market is. And I say, well, it's middle school kids. And if you go to my place at Christmas time, you'll see a line out the door with kids in college. And they go, well, I thought you said it was middle school kids. I said, well, they were middle school kids in 2000. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And now they come home and they want their comfort food.
Yeah.
They want to go back.
If you can establish yourself as the place people come home to,
yeah,
you're in.
Yeah. Yeah. And we definitely have that.
There's an emotional validity to that that makes food all of a sudden more than food.
And I must admit, I thank you, the fact that you have used us in a few things. And folks say, I'm here because I saw you.
Look, all I've ever been is honest. All I've been is, you know, it's so hard to find a place in this day and age. We've become so jaded and sophisticated food wise that it's hard to find a place that just is joyful, where the food is good and you want to be there and you feel good being there. And I remember the first few times I went to Jack's, I just stood there thinking, why the heck didn't I think of this? This is just ideal. Everybody here is having a great time. Everybody here, this is just, it's just right. And you don't find that very often, at least not where there's a concept that meets food that's really good. I mean, I could sit there and eat those hot dogs until, just frankly, I just drop on the floor from a coma. I mean, I probably would. I'll try not to do that, though.
Okay. Well, it's a food just like anything else. When I was in Vermont, we owned bars, and your best customer had a problem. You drank each day. Well, you shouldn't drink each day. It's the same thing with
whoa.
I was like, I mean, it shouldn't have.
My engineer Patrick Belden's dropping his headphones. What is this talking about drinking every day? What are you talking about, Jack? Easy, back off of it, guy. Back off of it.
I mean, my point is, you can't have a hot dog and fries and three drinks every day at lunch. You should have a salad.
Well, you can, but you'll drop dead.
That's right. Faster.
You'll drop dead. Yeah. If you walk all the way across from Isle of Palms, you can. Yeah. But
So I just wondered that if you have a hot dog, when you want to have that, I want you to come to me. That's all.
So you consider yourself a destination?
Yes. Yes.
What's next?
Now, I've never tried it in a more urban environment. So I saw, I don't know.
I think there's potential there.
Mm-hmm.
I do. You know, look at Shake Shack.
Yep.
Nobody has truly cracked, not really cracked the urban hot dog scenario. I think it could be done.
Yeah, it's, it all comes down to cost. A Shake Shack, you don't have the cost with a shake as you do. The minute you have fresh cut fries, you're talking hood, sprinkle, 1,000-gallon grease trap, the fire stuff they make you do. It's just amazing anytime you start to cook. That's why you see a Subway every place, because you don't need a hood.
Nope.
You know, it just.
Well, people don't realize the code structures that are necessary when you're dealing with higher heat levels and cooking fats.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you've got to have exhaust hoods. You've got to have Ansel systems. Mm-hmm. You've got to have a grease trap. Generally, on the level of 1,000, very often a 500,000-gallon grease trap. I mean, big. That's like a Winnebago under the ground. And then that's got to be emptied on a regular basis. And then the municipality you're in is going to come around for the paperwork to show that you've emptied your grease trap. It's a big deal.
Yeah, right.
Making French fries, people don't realize the amount of infrastructure necessary for a French fry.
Right. Yeah.
But where would you be without them?
That's true, because it is a magnificent food.
It is a magnificent food. Never, I mean, you can literally just take a potato, a nice Idaho russet potato, run it through a cutter, chill it in ice, blanch it in one temperature of oil, cook it in a higher temperature of oil, and turn it into absolute joy.
And it's amazing that it is that potato. I mean, it's an Idaho russet. It's unbelievable. But
the russet.
It's why McDonald's stopped doing fresh cut fries, because they couldn't keep up with the volume that they had to do.
Well,
and also, it's only like for 10 months, I think. There's two months to where you can't get the potatoes. So you got to.
They found that their flavor profile was hit better by a frozen fry, because it's a sweeter fry, because you get a higher starch to sugar conversion when you freeze it.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that you get a textural reduction in quality by doing that, which is why I'd rather have your fries than a McDonald's fry.
And one thing that's tough about fries is that that oil gets every place. I mean, you are.
Well, it's airborne.
I got to close down and repaint the place each year because it goes every place. It goes in every little corner.
Well, have you ever thought about frying your fries in a separate little outbuilding? That's what I would do. I would build a shack. I would build a shed for fries, and I would make it out of wood. And once a year, I would just burn it down and then rebuild it. No, I'm serious. Because it would go up. You can make it an event. We're going to burn the fry shed. You know, because it's so saturated with oil, it'll go up like nobody's business. And you just build a new one and go again. That way you don't have to worry about painting every year. I'm just saying.
That's why you're not in the food trade. You were in the theater trade.
Oh, my gosh. I would go down so fast. Well, Jack Hurley, thanks very much for being on the podcast. We really appreciate having you on.
Outstanding. I'm so glad to have you in Charleston. I'm sorry that your family couldn't enjoy the weekend because the weather has been spectacular after all the ice that you've been through. So.
We've all been through a lot. I've seen, we actually on tour had 14 days of snow, which was horrible. I'm so glad to be back on the South. Thanks for being here.
Thanks.